Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
A man dialed a wrong number and got the following recording. I'm not available right now, but I thank you for caring enough to call. I'm making some changes in my life. Please leave a message after the beep. If I do not return your call, you're one of the changes. The next portrait of grace we'll be taking a look at is Cornelius. Cornelius's life and eternity was changed by Peter coming and sharing the gospel of the kingdom with him and his family, and he was saved from his sins. And through Cornelius, we further learn about the change that was taking place in God's dealings with mankind through his conversion. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 8 read, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa." The city of Caesarea was situated on the Mediterranean coast, about 30 miles north of Joppa. A large Roman garrison was stationed there. At that time, it was a major Roman seaport for Palestine and its most important center of Roman government and military activity. Cornelius was a Roman military officer who was stationed in Caesarea. He was attached to a cohort called the Italian Regiment, which consisted of 600 soldiers. As a centurion, he commanded a subdivision of this cohort of 100 men. It's said that a centurion had about the same level of authority as a captain in the United States Army. Luke records that Cornelius was a devout, God-fearing man who gave alms generously to impoverished Jewish people and who prayed to God always. And as Cornelius feared God, all his house feared God with him. And as he was devout, we learn in verse 7 that a soldier that served him was likewise devout. So you see that Cornelius influenced those around him in life. According to verse 3, he observed the Jewish hour of prayer, praying at the ninth hour within the privacy of his home. Acts 3:1 reads, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." In verse 22, he is described as a just or an upright man who lived a moral life. He had a good report or a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews. And further in verse 30, we learn how he fasted out of his desire to know the truth. But in all of that, Cornelius was not saved. By all outward appearances, one might have thought he was. But the fear of God he possessed, his consistent prayers, his fasting, his good life, his kindness to the Jewish people, did not mean that he merited or had eternal life. The record of Scripture is very clear that Cornelius was unsaved. Peter was sent to him by the Lord that he might receive remission of sins, as verse 43 shows, And Peter's retelling of this account in the next chapter, chapter 11, we find that he was sent to Cornelius to tell him the words whereby Cornelius and all his house would be saved. This is a reminder to us that being a good person who prays, fears the true God, goes to church, gives to those who are in need, that does not mean that you have eternal life or are right, or that you're right with God. Cornelius needed to hear the truth of Christ, the truth of the gospel of the kingdom at that time, and to accept that by faith in order to have the forgiveness of his sins and be saved and have hope. And that's what happened by Peter's visit. Today we are under grace, and we're surrounded by people like Cornelius, so-called good people, devout people, but people who have not trusted the gospel. If they have not trusted the gospel, they are not going to heaven. And Cornelius is a reminder for us, the church, to faithfully share Christ with everyone, including people who seem like good, upright, moral people. To be right with God and have eternal life, each person must make that individual and personal decision to trust that Christ died for their sins and rose again. In verse 3, we see that as Cornelius was praying at the ninth hour, which was 3 in the afternoon, an angel appeared to him. Often when angels appeared to people in Scripture, we find that the people were terrified, and Cornelius was no different. Even he, a veteran, toughened soldier, was afraid at the sight of the angel. The angel told him that God had noted Cornelius's sincere prayers Godward and his sincere alms or giving to the poor manward. His many prayers indicated that he truly desired to know the true God. And the Lord was now going to give him more revelation. Cornelius experienced what Hebrews 11:6 teaches. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The angel told Cornelius to dispatch some men to Joppa for Simon, who is also called Peter, who is staying there in a home with another Simon. There were two Simons, and he was staying in the home of Simon the Tanner, and that Simon Peter would tell him what he ought to do. Soon as the angel departed, Cornelius told two of his household servants and a devout Roman soldier what had happened with the angel, and then he sent all three of these men to Joppa to find Peter and to bring him to Caesarea. I believe that we find here in the account of Cornelius a principle that's still true today, that through God's mercy and grace and his sovereign ability, he can and he will make the way of salvation known to any person in any land under any circumstance if they are diligently seeking the truth. Modern missionaries have told stories of similar seekers after God as Cornelius. After missionaries have penetrated some remote tribe and had preached the gospel, the natives explain to them how they had previously worshipped the same creator God the missionary had told them about, and that they had prayed for more light. Acts chapter 10, verses 9 to 17 read, "On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate. As Cornelius's messengers drew near to Joppa, God prepared Peter for their coming in a remarkable way. Here we're at Simon the Tanner's house now in Joppa. It's noon, it's lunchtime. The flat roofs of homes in that time were used much like decks or porches are in our culture, to sit, relax, and even as a place to eat. Peter went up on the roof of the house and used it to pray on this day. Peter was hungry at the time when he was praying and would like to have eaten, but the meal was still being prepared in the house below. But his hunger provides a fitting preparation for what was to follow. As Peter prayed, he saw a vision of a great white four-cornered sheet descending from heaven to the earth. The sheet-like container, similar perhaps to an awning or a ship's sail, was full of all kinds of animals. It was like a microcosm of the animal world, containing many species of all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air, it says. Some were clean animals, but many, perhaps most, were unclean and forbidden to be eaten by Jews under the Mosaic law. Peter saw this sheet, and then he heard a voice speak to him. The Lord's instruction to Peter was, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And the invitation was something repulsive to a devout Jew. Under the law, God had made a difference between clean animals that could be eaten and unclean animals that were forbidden from them eating. For 1,500 years, this dietary restriction was upon the Jews under the law. Leviticus 20:25 says of this, "Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean." So Peter was understandably reluctant and resistant. Eating an unclean animal was a clear violation of God's law, so Peter protested the command, saying, "Not so, Lord." Some people don't want to accept their need for change. And the story is told about a doctor who told a man to give up red meat, so he stopped putting ketchup on his hamburgers. Peter wasn't ready for this change to his diet here. Interestingly, Peter next says, "I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." From that statement, we learn that Peter had kept the law concerning clean and unclean foods all of his life. When Peter was with the Lord and the other apostles for those 3 years of Christ's earthly ministry, they never ate anything that wasn't clean. Being under the law during his earthly ministry, the Lord, as well as his apostles, kept the dietary restrictions of the law. The Lord obeyed the law perfectly, and he taught his disciples to obey it. And here in Acts chapter 10, more than a year after the resurrection and ascension of Christ, Peter was still keeping the law. He had never eaten anything unclean. Three times this dialogue took place of the Lord telling Peter, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter saying, "No, Lord." And then the Lord telling him, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." And then the sheet returned to heaven. Peter was being told that he was now allowed to eat any kind of meat or fowl or other living thing. God's instructions had changed. But this vision had a further meaning too. The four corners of the sheet speak to the four corners of the earth. It is a vision of the world and the nations within it, and that is the Gentiles from all over the world. The Jews had long considered the Gentiles common and unclean. But now God was going to do a new thing. Gentiles, represented by the common unclean beasts and birds, were going to receive the Holy Spirit, the same as the Jews, the clean beasts and birds who had already received the Holy Spirit. Peter had thought of only the Jews as being accepted and clean, and of the Gentiles as being unclean. But God was showing him that he was no respecter of persons. The Lord wanted Peter to see that God had cleansed what was once unclean, and Gentiles should no longer be considered unclean or any more unworthy than any Jewish sinner of eternal life.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
Basic Distinctions Between Prophecy and the Mystery is a full-color tract written by Pastor Cornelius R. Stamm. In this tract, Pastor Stamm very effectively makes a comparison between prophecy and the mystery, giving scripture to prove the distinctions. It is a great tool to share the word, rightly divided. They sell in packages of 25 or 100. To order, contact the Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750 or visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org.
To receive our free full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750. Or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Acts 10:34-42 read, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead." Cornelius invited his family and close friends to his home for Peter's visit, and thus many people were present when Peter went in. Peter states that through this circumstance, he knew that God was no respecter of persons and shows no partiality. Speaking of Cornelius, he said, that in every nation he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Cornelius was accepted not in the sense of being saved, but simply in the sense that he was no longer to be considered unclean, as God had showed him. The answer to a Gentile's prayer at Israel's hour of prayer indicated that God now accepted him in the same sense that he did Israel. Paul then gave these Gentiles, who gathered at Cornelius' home, an eyewitness account of the person, ministry, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. With his person, Peter pointed out that Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, saying that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. It means that Christ is the anointed one, or the Messiah of Israel. Peter tells this gathering that Christ was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. So he points out how he is Lord, he is Messiah, and he is judge. Peter then told them of Christ's earthly ministry, beginning with his baptism, his ministry of doing good, showing compassion, preaching peace, the peace of his kingdom, casting out demons, and then how he was hung on a tree and he died, and that God raised him from the dead. And Peter says that he saw the Lord with his own eyes after Christ had risen, and that he had even eaten and drank with him to further drive the truth of his resurrection home. Christ's resurrection gave testimony to the fact that Christ is God and Israel's Messiah. All of this was consistent with prophecy and with the terms of the gospel of the kingdom that Peter was told to preach. Peter's words form a striking contrast to Paul's gospel of the grace of God. You find Peter here beginning with Christ's earthly ministry, proceeding to his death, then to his resurrection, and his appointment as judge. The Apostle Paul's message begins with the death and resurrection of Christ, and it proceeds to his glory at God's right hand as the dispenser of grace and head of the church, the body of Christ. Peter related the fact of our Lord's death and resurrection. He used it to show that Christ is the Messiah, because salvation was through faith in the person of Christ and his name, in who he is as God's Son and Israel's Messiah. Whereas Paul's gospel is all about the preaching of the cross, faith alone, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Acts 10:43-48 read, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Peter spoke of the public knowledge of many of the things he had said about Christ when he told Cornelius and those present, "That word I say ye know," which was published throughout all Judea. Cornelius knew a lot about God. He had some knowledge about Christ and his earthly ministry, but there was one thing he did not yet know, and that is the next thing Peter says, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." The word of God and prophecy pointed to Jesus Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the promised one. He's the fulfillment of prophecy. And when Peter said, "Through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins," in response to that, Cornelius and those with him immediately believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is. And immediately upon believing this, the gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out on Cornelius and all those believing Gentiles in his home. And how we know and how those present knew that the Spirit was poured out on them is because in accordance with the gospel of the kingdom at that time, they all began speaking in tongues. Peter, as well as the Jewish brethren who were with him from Joppa, were astonished by what they saw, verse 45 says. They were astonished for two reasons. That the Gentiles received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that this had taken place without their first having been water baptized. Because Acts 2:38 says, the order is supposed to be faith and repentance, water baptism, remission of sins, and then the gift of the Holy Spirit. These Gentiles received the Holy Spirit before they were water baptized, causing Peter and those with him to be astonished. After he got over his amazement, Peter shrugged and asked, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" What Peter was asking was, it wasn't supposed to happen this way, but since it did happen this way, can anyone think of a good reason not to baptize them? And no one could, and neither could Peter, so he baptized them. Throughout this chapter, things happened that were different and that amazed Peter and that he didn't fully understand. Cornelius is a portrait of grace for a couple of reasons. First, the salvation of any and every sinner is by the grace of God. His seeking God and then God sending him Peter to reveal how he could be saved was grace. And when he trusted the message Peter brought him, that was, he was saved by grace. But it's also a portrait of grace because of God using this account to confirm his changing of his dealings with mankind. Peter's special commission was one of the first steps in the unfolding of God's plan to bless the nations by grace in spite of Israel in her rejection of Christ. Cornelius was part of the connecting link between Peter's ministry of prophecy and Paul's ministry of grace. Because you'll note how this incident took place right after the conversion of Paul, and that changes then start taking place. In Peter's vision, the dietary restrictions of the law are changed, like they are under grace now. When Cornelius and his household got saved, it took place apart from the former requirement of water baptism in order to be saved. In the case of Cornelius, we read for the first time that God put no difference between Jew and Gentile, and that God had cleansed the Gentiles. The Lord told Paul that at his conversion that he would send him far hence unto the Gentiles. This is followed by this special commission to Peter to go to a Gentile. And later it was on the basis of this chapter, this incident, that the church at Jerusalem officially recognized Paul's ministry among the Gentiles. Peter's ministry to Cornelius and his household fits in naturally after Paul's conversion and before his great ministry among the Gentiles was called into question. In the wisdom of God, Peter was used by God to go to the Gentile Cornelius to lay the groundwork for the ministry of Paul to be accepted when he went out preaching his gospel of the grace of God to the Gentiles. And since Peter was the designated leader of the Jewish Kingdom Church, and that since he had gone to minister to Gentiles under a special commission, and through specific miraculous instructions and a vision by God, it later helped others see that Paul's ministry to the Gentiles was legitimate.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.